Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2456, with a release date of Friday, November 22nd, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Chinese and Russian students collaborate on a ham radio satellite. The next head of the FCC is nominated. And New Zealand hams help a community radio network grow. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2456 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
Our top story this week is about a satellite created through the efforts of Russian and Chinese college students working together. The satellite is in orbit now, and hams are busy making use of it for their QSOs. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has the details.
The collaborative efforts of Chinese and Russian university students have helped put a CubeSat known as ASRTU-1 into space. Its 2-meter FM transponder recently became active with an uplink of 145.850 MHz. It requires a CTCSS tone of 67 Hz. The 12U satellite, weighing 15.7 kilograms, also has SSDV cameras and a telemetry system aboard. According to a report on ChinaDaily.com, the creation of the satellite was undertaken to encourage cultural exchanges while tapping into the higher education resources of both nations. The educational and ham radio microsatellite was launched on November 4 on board a Soyuz rocket, a moment eagerly awaited by the students who assisted with the work at the Harbin Institute of Technology in China. The microsatellite's camera system has a UHF SSDV downlink for low-resolution images on 436.210 MHz. There is also a high-speed downlink for high-resolution images on 10460 MHz. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Here in the U.S., there will be a new leader at the helm of the FCC under the new administration. Here's details from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The FCC has announced that senior Republican Brendan Carr is to become its next chairman in 2025 under the Trump administration, succeeding Jessica Rosenworcel. Carr has served at the FCC since 2012. His previous posts included legal advisor and general counsel. He was named by then-President Donald Trump in 2017 to be a commissioner and was later named by President Joe Biden to a term that runs through 2029. Carr said the FCC priority must be to, quote, restore free speech rights for everyday Americans, end quote, claiming that major social media outlets have created a cartel that he believes censors conservative viewpoints in particular. Carr is also an ally of Elon Musk, whose Starlink satellite internet service has thrice been rejected for subsidies from the FCC. Musk was recently named by Trump to co-lead the Department of Government Efficiency with former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Until next January, the FCC will remain led by Democrats 3-2. After he takes office, Trump will appoint a new FCC commissioner. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
One of the many issues taken up at the recent IARU Region 3 conference in Thailand was the proposed harmonization of the CW portion of the 40-meter band plan with other regions. The proposal designates 7,000 to 7,040 kilohertz for CW only. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us what comes next.
The board of the WIA, after a full briefing by Peter Young, VK3MV, WIA delegate who attended and represented the Wireless Institute of Australia at the IARU Region 3 meeting held in Thailand, advises that principles were established for a band planning and that the proposal by the IARU Region 3 HF Band Plan Committee for the 40-meter band plan will be sent to a committee before being presented to the other two region meetings over the next 3 years. I'm VK4BB, Graham Kemp.
Inside a museum building in Ohio, where work crews are busy with renovations, many people recall the final day the building served as a shortwave relay station for Voice of America. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us more.
Even as the Voice of America Museum remains closed with the hope of reopening after renovations are complete, many were remembering a much more dramatic closing at that site in Westchester, Ohio. The legendary shortwave relay station went silent 30 years ago on November 14, 1994, making its final broadcast to listeners overseas when it was decommissioned by the U.S. government. The building's more recent closure is to allow upgrades to various systems on the premises, as well as to reorganize exhibits. Meanwhile, the Westchester Amateur Radio Association, WC8VOA, has been able to continue its regular meetings and open house sessions at club headquarters inside the museum because the club shack is not a part of the renovation. Members were also in the shack to participate in the recent ARRL sweepstakes. According to the VOA Museum website, there are hopes the renovation work will be finished by mid-January, and plans are being made for a grand reopening to the public. This is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
The community of hams who run the South Coast Amateur Radio Service Net, known as Southcars, is grieving the loss of a member who helped restore the group's foundation. We hear about him from Jack Parker, W8ISH.
To other members of the South Cars 40-meter service net, few hams could ever match the service given by John Bostick, WB4GOV. John, who became a silent key on the 9th of November, had served as the net's first general manager following its reorganization in late 1996. The net had been in operation since the mid-60s and is a service net that is on the air daily, passing traffic and assisting in emergencies when needed. As it grew to more than 14,500 members, the South Cars Net needed a numbering method to keep things orderly, and John instituted a system that is still in place. According to an obituary in the QRZ.com forums, he also established an awards program for the group, underwriting the cost of plaques and trophies so that net control stations and others could be honored for their contributions. According to the obituary, quote, "He laid a firm foundation for the operation of South Cars, which developed into the largest and most prestigious net on the 40-meter band," end quote. His tenure as manager ended when he stepped down in 2004. The obituary said that he had been in declining health in recent years. John was 89. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
If you're a volunteer examiner for any level of the U.S. amateur radio licenses, you can expect to be affected by this update, explained by Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Some changes are coming to the ARRL's VEC program that will affect exam teams in the U.S. According to an ARRL representative, the VEC department is phasing out the supply of field-stocked printed exams and is encouraging VEs to download and print out their own from online sources such as exam tools. The ARRL will continue to supply other exam-related forms, such as the FCC Form 605 or the CSCE and session reports. The ARRL is also encouraging VE teams to explore electronic, online testing, whether in person or remotely. For more information, check with your VEC contact listed at the webpage listed in the text version of this report on the arnewsline.org website. This is Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Get ready to work the younger generation of radio operators in December. It's YOTA month, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Don't forget that YOTA month, also known as December, begins in a little more than 1 week. Stations with radio operators under the age of 26 will be on the air from countries around the world: France, the UK, Republic of Korea, Hungary, Argentina, Egypt, and the United States, to name but a few. This is their month in the spotlight, and most of their call signs contain the suffixes YOTA for youngsters or youth on the air. The US call signs are K8Y, K8O, K8T, and W8A, with the single letter suffixes spelling YOTA. Organizers stress that contact should be made with the understanding that these QSOs may be the youngsters' first experience in an on-the-air event, and so patience and care are key parts of the exchange. Awards will be available for shortwave listeners as well as licensed amateur radio operators. The real award, however, is knowing that you may have inspired someone to pursue amateur radio over the course of a lifetime. See details by visiting the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Time to identify your station. We're the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WR2 ABA repeater system of the Larkfield Amateur Radio Club, Huntington, New York, 8 p.m. on Tuesdays following the Rags Unit. In New Zealand, amateur radio operators are sharing the power of radio, in this case, low-power, license-free handhelds, to bring communities and families closer together. Here's the tales from Jim Meachins at L2BHF.
Helping people connect over radio and stay connected is the mission behind the effort known as Rebuild Free Radio Network. It's an emerging collective in New Zealand that's relying mainly on portable, license-free, handheld PRS radios that are often used as tools in public safety. A number of the participants also have their amateur radio licenses, including the network's national coordinator. Writing in QUA, the newsletter of the Franklin Amateur Radio Club, club member Trish Murray, ZL1TTM, explained how, community by community, she is helping to strengthen the network locally. She described the hands-on, interactive workshops she has been leading to get people familiar with the UHF radios they have purchased but may be hesitant to use. The workshops explain that local resiliency is the best reason for using a radio and the area repeaters, whether it's to stay in touch with other family members or communicate in a crisis. Trish wrote that some of the more enthusiastic radio operators are considering taking the next step, quote, "Most people are completely new to radio, so it's really inspiring seeing the confidence grow and hear their first tentative calls. We also have experienced radio users and also now some who would like to go and do their ham licenses. I am encouraging this," end quote. For more details about the Rebuild Free Radio Network, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Now here's a weather prediction for you. In early December, expect a 100% chance of sincere appreciation showering down on volunteer spawners participating in Skywarn. Randy Sly, W4XJ, tells us how it's going to happen.
For 24 hours on the first weekend of December, the Skywarn network of volunteer operators will be recognizing something other than storms, tornadoes, icy conditions, wind, or floods. On-air operations will be devoted to the scores of Skywarn spotters whose service helps protect lives and property around the United States. The occasion is the 25th anniversary of Skywarn Recognition Day, which the National Weather Service and the ARRL created in 1999 to shine a light on the work of these weather spotters whose information gathering is so vital to everyone's well-being and safety. Amateur radio operators are a big part of that team. From 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, December 6th, through to 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, December 7th, they'll be making contacts via CW, single sideband, FT4, FT8 on HF, on 2 meters, FM, and DMR. In a video on the National Weather Service YouTube channel, Ken Graham, WX4KEG, director of the NWS, called Skywarn spotters the gold standard of citizen science. Coast to coast, they'll be calling CQ and listening. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
In the world of DX, listen for Nobu, JA0JHQ, on the air as T88PB from Koror, iota number OC009, Palau, from the 22nd through to the 26th of November. Most of his activity will be during the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest. CQRZ.com for QSL details. Special call signs R2024DX and UE34DX will be on the air to mark the 34th anniversary of the Mueller DX Club until the 30th of November. The operators are on the air from Mielerova, Russia, QSL via RQ7L. Listen for Daryl, AB2E, and John, K3TEJ, operating CW, SSB, and FT8 as AB2E/VP9 and K3TEJ/VP9 from Bermuda, IOTA number NA005 until the 26th of November. They're focusing on 30, 17, and 12 meters. They'll participate in the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest with a call sign VP9I. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Juris, YL2GM, and Eugene, EA5EL, will be active as XV9X from Phuquoc Island, IOTA number AS128 Vietnam, until the 2nd of November, using CW, SSB, and FT8 on 160 through 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL information. As we move toward the final month of 2024, a special message comes to us from a ham in Germany. His name is Fabian Kurtz, DJ5CW, and he wants to challenge all of us, including himself, in the new year. During each one of the 52 weeks awaiting us in 2025, Fabian invites us to try something new that is amateur radio related, whether it is designing your own QSL card or trying to make a contact on 6 meters via sporadic E. He reminds us, too, that what some of us may consider a simple exercise, others may perceive as a monumental achievement. He believes that no matter your level of proficiency or expertise, it's important to expand your horizons. One of the most important parts of the challenge is to help other hams achieve that weekly goal, if you are able. Fabian told Newsline that he was inspired to create this challenge after discovering a photography challenge on the internet. The challenge asked photography enthusiasts to create a photo for a different theme during each week of the year and to share the results via social media. Applying it to ham radio, Fabian expected he would do this as a personal challenge by himself, but he said that once he started sharing the idea with friends, it took off. He asks that hams post their progress on social media using #hamchallenge. There's also an IRC channel available, and the link is in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. Fabian hopes that if a photograph or a picture is worth 1,000 words, this adventure is surely worth 52 weeks of challenge and breaking through new frontiers. If a good day of radio is like poetry to you, pick up a pencil and join the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. Share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your 3-line haiku. Sorry, we cannot accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form with the correct number of syllables for each of the 3 lines. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that is inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT SM, ARRL, China Daily, David Bayer, K7DB, FCC, 425 DX News, The Hill, IARU, National Weather Service, QUA Newsletter, QRZ Forums, Rebuild Free Radio, shortwaveradio.de, VOA Museum, Washington Post, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.